And we welcome you in here live tonight from the MAC as we are getting you set for Monmouth basketball. And as we do, we move our Monmouth football show with the head coach Kevin Callahan up an hour earlier with the tip-off set for MU taking on UPenn tonight here in the MAC. We've also changed locations for the evening as well, away from the comfy confines of Jack's to a courtside seat here in the multi-purpose activity center. Matt Harmon back here on the Shore Sports Network along with the head coach of the Monmouth football program, Kevin Callahan. MU fresh off a 23-6 win over Wagner a week ago on a couple days ago, this past Saturday up in Staten Island. Coach, as I say, good evening to you. It's a little different sitting here. We got this activity going on, and there's things happening. We know a basketball game's right around the corner.
There is a lot going on. It's great to see, to be here in the MAC, and I think this is a perfect prelude into the basketball game to follow against the University of Pennsylvania. Hey. You know, I talked to Coach Rice and his staff today, and I know that they're fired up about this game, and to be honest, I'm anxious to see them play.
Home opener tonight for the Blue and White on the hardwood. They did win their opening game against Hofstra. Our pregame show for basketball come up about 6:50. We'll take you right into the 7 o'clock tip-off. Myself and Eddie Iacopinti on the call there. On the show tonight, we will do our regular program. We'll recap last week's win against Wagner. A couple of guests on the show this evening. Dave Demersion, fifth-year outside linebacker, who's had a great year, will join us coming up around 6:15. And then the Monmouth University president, Dr. Paul Brown, will swing by around 6:30, give us some time to talk here on the show as well. But, Coach, let's get into the win last week. An important one for so many reasons, as you and I talked last week, and really was the theme of the week, getting back on track. And Monmouth with a 23-6 over Wagner. And anytime you beat Wagner in anything, it's certainly nice because of the rivalry that's existed between the two schools. And I know, as you have said, you know, since that point, not a perfect game, but a win nonetheless, and at least feeling pretty good going into this week's contest against Bryant.
It was, Matt. It was a very good win on the road against one of our rivals, probably our biggest rival in the 20 years that we've had football, and that being Wagner. They're one of the teams that we have played every single season since the beginning of our program, and they're always very physical, very tough and hard contested games, and Saturday was the same. I thought we got off to a very good start, a very fast start, and we get a key special teams play that set us up in good field position, and a couple plays later we were in the end zone, and then we hit Mike McClafferty, and a little bit later on, and before you know it, we're up 13-0. I was very happy with the way we started in that game.
Yeah, Monmouth out to an early start. They led in that game 13-0, and then 13-3 at the half. MU with a field goal and a touchdown to kind of seal it in the second half. So now sitting, Coach, at 5-5, two games remaining. And going back to that win over Wagner, I thought one of the impressive things was it seemed like, at least on the defensive side of the ball, when the offense, got off to the quick start but maybe didn't put Wagner away on that side of the ball, the defense was really good again. I mean, you think about it, just 6 points on the day. A pretty complete effort by your defense.
It was, Matt. I think, you said it correctly. It may have been our best defensive performance of the season up to this point. We didn't allow a touchdown. We limited Dominique Williams to 69 yards on the day rushing. We came up with a huge goal line stand after a special teams error that gave them the ball inside the 5-yard line. And I just thought we did a great job on the day. Our third down conversions, I think they converted 3 of 17 on the afternoon. So, we have to be very happy about that. And I think what you're seeing is a defense that's playing with a lot of confidence right now and a defense that's playing together.
And a little bit different than the week prior against Sacred Heart, it seemed like the pass rush really took a big step forward. 5 sacks on the day and many pressures against the two Wagner quarterbacks. Just a different day overall. And, you had a different sense of it right from the beginning that this was a team that would not let another opportunity slip away.
Well, and that's exactly what you and I spoke about last week when we said that I felt the Sacred Heart game was a missed opportunity. And we made a point during our week of preparation with our players to make sure that we did everything possible to prepare to take advantage of the opportunity that Wagner would present to us. And I feel very good for our team because I feel that we did just that.
On the offensive side, just enough. It was kind of one of those days where it was just enough to kind of keep Wagner from getting back into the game. Brandon Hill, 12 of 20 for 190 yards. Did have a touchdown pass late in the game. Julian Hayes and KB Asante combined for just about 150 yards on the day. Hayes with two more touchdowns. But really, I thought, Coach, the big play was in that second drive, and Mike McLafferty caught that pass, 65-yarder, unfortunately, was held out of the end zone, but not only made a great catch, but a great run after, and it really kind of, again, built, it was able to build on that opening score that you had and going up two scores right from the get-go.
Well, it did. It certainly flipped the field. It was a 69-yard play, although he got tackled on the 2-yard line, which, incidentally, when we ran that play in Wednesday's practice, Mike got tackled on the 2-yard line on that exact same play, believe it or not. So I don't know if that was an omen of what was to come on Saturday, but it was an explosive play and the type of plays that we look for from our skill players on the offensive side. It set our offense up on the 2-yard line, and just a few plays later, we were in the end zone.
Four catches on the day for McLafferty, but 119 yards, 65 of those came on that one catch, which was a record for tight ends. When you think about it, some of the great tight ends that Monmouth has had in recent memory, to think that, you know, as I saw that, you say there had to have been a guy that had more than 119 yards, but there wasn't.
I said the same thing when I was given the news that was a new record for receiving yardage by a tight end. I thought that when you think about Tyler George and John Nalbone and other guys that we've had, I said somebody had to have more than that at some point, but the truth is they didn't. So I'm very happy for Mike on the record-setting performance. It's good to see him healthy after suffering through some early and mid-season problems with an ankle sprain. He looks to be 100% now, and I think it's starting to show in his performance.
Was it a day that, as you kind of reflect back on it, and maybe even immediately after, not that you hate to say disappointed because you put up 23 points, but there were some points maybe left on the board with some ineffectiveness offensively during the course of that game?
Well, after that great start in the first quarter, I really felt that we got a little sloppy on the offensive side in the second quarter and even into the beginning of the third quarter. We had a couple of opportunities in the red zone that we didn't convert into points. We had penalties that took us off schedule. Matter of fact, we had a first and goal from the 7 and ended up with a fourth and goal from the minus 49. And, you know, I don't want to get into all the specifics that led to that, but, that was very disappointing. I felt that at the time, had we put the ball in the end zone there, we could have really jumped out and put that game away. We didn't get in the end zone. Wagner hung around, and it wasn't until the fourth quarter that we really put him away.
From just the confidence factor, though, you know, moving forward now with two games left, you think you get back to 500, and the one theme that you can maybe take out of that win, and I'm sure carry through this week of practice and get ready for Brian, then, and hopefully a win next week, is that a winning season is still now in play for the team.
That's exactly what we're talking to the team about, and, you know, these guys have not had a winning season in a couple of years here, and we couldn't have a winning season without getting win number 5, and we can't get win number 7 without getting 6 first. So the focus is on Bryant, the focus is on win number 6, and, we were out there this morning back to work in the snow flurries, and, you know, I like where our focus is, and as you said, we're playing with a lot of confidence right now.
When you think, looking at the stats from the game, and we'll talk to one of the starting three, and I'm talking about the linebacking core, I guess it's the way that you kind of draw it up as a head coach, and obviously with most of your experience on the defensive side of the ball, Gary Onokuzi, 9 tackles from his middle linebacker spot. John Sikowski and Dave Demersion, 8 tackles apiece from their outside linebacker spots. If you could have those three guys lead your team in tackles all day, it really means that the front four guys are doing a pretty good job, and they're freeing those three guys up to do what they're supposed to do, and that's make tackles.
They are, and I'm very pleased with the play of our front 7 overall on the defensive side. The defensive linemen, the linebackers that you mentioned, and the guys who come in and play in the nickel packages in those spots are doing a great job. And as you alluded to earlier, Matt, anytime we can shut down the run, you now have the opportunity to turn your pass rushers loose. And we did exactly that as we got into the second half, 5 sacks on the day, and a number of other times where we had hurries or knocked the quarterback down.
And a lot of tackles back behind the line of scrimmage on a lot of those running plays as well. Just as Monmouth had done really against Kyle Harbridge a few weeks back, albeit on a loss, holding one of the NEC's top runners in Dominique Williams to just 72 yards on the day.
One of the other things I think was important about Saturday, Matt, and I've got to give credit to the play of our special teams. You know, we decided during the week that we were going to open the game if we received with a reverse. I thought we executed that extremely well. We had great blocks on the play from Jake Morrow, our starting fullback, from John Sikowski, one of our outside linebackers, from Ife Absaluka, one of our defensive backs, backs and really sprung Darren Ambush and gave us the ball down inside the 20-yard line, and that kind of really got us going. It was a type of explosive play that you look to from your special teams. Later in the game, in the fourth quarter, Dave DeMergen forces a fumble on a punt, and again puts our offense in good field position that we then convert into a touchdown. So very happy with the way our special teams are coming along.
Certainly it was a point of contention over the course of the last couple of weeks, and Monmouth able to get themselves back to 500 with two games left in the season, knocking off Wagner by a score of 23-6. We'll take a timeout here. When we come back, we'll be joined by fifth-year senior and one of the team captains, Dave DeMergen, all after this quick two-minute pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. We are back here from the MAC, getting set for a 7 p.m. tip-off time with the Hoops team taking on UPenn tonight, game number two of the season for them. Game number 10 in the books for Monmouth, a 23-6 win over Wagner on Saturday. Two games remaining, one away. That is at Bryant, wrapping up a three-game road trip, and then back here at Kessler Field on the 23rd of November against Duquesne. Matt Harmon, Kevin Catland, we sit courtside here from the MAC, a quick trip away from Jack's goal line stand. Good spot to pop in if you are on your way to the basketball game or on your way out here tonight. Along now with fifth-year senior outside linebacker Dave DeMergen, giving us a few minutes here on the show here tonight. Dave, good to see you. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Nice to have you here. The earlier time, I know, worked out pretty well for you in terms of getting you on here. And want to talk to you first about just the season up until this point. You know, you think about the whole course of a year, and 12 games seems like a lot with a bye thrown in there, 13 weeks, plus all the preseason. Are you guys at the point right now where you can see the end in sight? You know, you realizing that with two games left, you got only a couple more chances to kind of put the pads on and get out there.
Yeah, for us seniors, you know, we realize that it's starting to come to a close. But, I mean, as a whole, we just try to take it week to week. Right now, we're just focused on Bryant, and that's the whole team's main focus right now.
We look back at the game against Wagner, and it's been such an even series over the course of the two histories between Monmouth and Wagner. And with that win, MU actually takes an 11-10 lead in the overall series. Is it a little bit different when you play them, just knowing the rivalry kind of as a whole?
Yeah, there's a big rivalry there, and we know there's a lot of crossover between our coaching staffs and stuff like that. So there's always a little something extra that goes into that game.
Dave, over the course of this past week after Saturday's game, named as the College Sports Madness Independent Defensive Player of the Week. 8 tackles on the day. Had a tackle and a half for a loss. As Coach had mentioned before, a big fumble recovery on a special teams play. And you know, Coach, as you and I talked before Dave was here, just about his play overall. And you know, he was a guy that worked himself into the mix last year, started a couple games, played in all 10 games. Really, between last year and this year, there's, you hate to say market improvement, because he did a good job for you last season, but he looks like just a totally different football player this year.
Well, Dave's playing with a lot of confidence, and I think that comes from knowing that he's prepared and he's worked hard throughout the 5 years that he's been with us. And we've seen a remarkable jump in Dave's play each and every year, from the time he came into a freshman to where he is now. He's made steady progress all the way through those 5 years that he's been with us. Dave's certainly one of the leaders of our defense. He's a guy on that side of the ball, and for our whole team for that matter, that the guys really look up to. I know the younger linebackers, and it is kind of a young position group, they have a tremendous amount of respect for Dave, and they'll frequently go to him with questions about what's going on. And matter of fact, a few weeks ago we had John Sikowski on the show, and he alluded to the leadership that Dave brings to that group. And you know, he's just doing an outstanding job for us, and I'm very, very happy for the success that Dave's having.
Dave, you know, as Coach said, you know, you're a guy who's been here for 5 years now, and as a captain this year, you know, you assume that role as a leader anyway because you're a captain, but as kind of the elder statesman of the linebacking group, is that something that you enjoy? You know, like if a young guy comes up, you kind of almost relish in that they're turning to you for advice.
Yeah, you know, it makes you feel good, and you know, just knowing that these are the guys that are going to be the future of this program, and I can try and help them out in any way possible, and just try and help them out any way I can.
Dave, the fifth-year senior, who graduated this past May with a business administration degree here for his MBA. You know, I'm always curious whenever we talk to guys who have graduated already and back for their fifth year and taken master's classes. Is it a little bit different? You know, I know the class load is a little bit different. I would imagine it makes it easier in one way to kind of focus on football and almost like enjoy your last experience as a student athlete.
Yeah, it's definitely different. A lot of night classes, so I have my whole middle of the day is open with practice in the mornings. It's a little weird coming into class, you know, I'm coming from a lift or practice and people are coming from work and stuff like that. But no, it's good. I've adjusted well.
You'll wish in a few years that you're still coming in from a lift or practice and not coming in from work.
You know, Coach, it is kind of different when you get a fifth-year guy who has already graduated. You know, not always is that the case. Sometimes if a player takes 4.5 years to get their bachelor's or a whole five in some cases to get their bachelor's. In a case like Dave, you know, you kind of, I guess, realize that he has a different schedule in a way than everybody else. But in saying that, he's also more of an adult than everybody else is, too.
Well, he does. And the guys that have graduated and enrolled in graduate school, you can tell that they have a plan about what they want to accomplish. They're not just hanging around for another semester, so to speak, to play another year of football or another season of football. They have a plan. They have a goal. They're motivated to get their master's and to further their education, and they're using the opportunity to play football to help in that process.
I know academics are important to you, Dave. You know, you're a former member of the NEC Academic Honor Roll. As you complete your MBA in the summertime coming up in 2014, when you look ahead to life without football in a way, what are you anticipating doing when you leave here?
Well, next semester when I won't have football anymore, I'm trying to get an internship somewhere and just try and open up some avenues that I haven't had an opportunity to do yet. So just wherever life takes me, I'm willing to go.
Do you think you'll miss the game? I mean, I think, you know, sometimes guys say I'm just ready for a break, and then maybe a year or two they think, boy, I wish I could go back. For you, do you think you'll miss it right away?
Yeah, I mean, you know, sometimes it wears on you, but I've been talking with a lot of the seniors this past week, and, you know, we're not ready for it to be over yet at all. It's going to be weird.
And Dave's a guy, Matt, that I don't know if you're aware, that in his earlier years had to fight through several injuries and finally got him. He's healthy. He's been healthy now for the last two seasons. He's on the field. I know, Dave, it must feel good to just go out there, although you've got the same bumps and bruises that everybody has after 10 games, but to be healthy and playing at your best. And you've got to feel good about that.
Yeah, definitely. It just kind of felt like in my earlier years nothing was going my way, and it was a struggle. But now that I'm healthy, I feel great, and it's been awesome.
And Dave, how does it feel to have, and you know, yourself as a fifth-year senior, and yeah, the other fifth-year seniors that are on our team, the other captains, how does it feel to be in the home stretch, so to speak, of the season with two games remaining?
It's different, you know. For us, coming down to our last couple games ever, it's different, but I think it just makes us more motivated to want to finish with as many wins as possible.
Well, as you know, this could be the first season that we have a winning season in the last several here, and, you know, we've got to win both these games to do that. And as I said to the guys on the field today, we had to win number six before we can worry about number seven.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we always take it one game at a time, and that's key right now, because without win number six, we can't get a winning season.
Fifth-year senior Dave Demersian here on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. Dave, leading the team in tackles this year with 65, 10 of those for a loss, 3 sacks on the year as well. You know, Dave, I think just for you as a player, I feel like that dimension has something that is a little bit different from last year to this year. That idea of getting into the backfield a little bit quicker, you know, causing havoc in the not only the run game and tackling guys for a loss behind the line of scrimmage, but also those 3 sacks. I mean, you're getting yourself more involved in more plays on a consistent basis.
Yeah, definitely. I think my reads are really a lot better than they have been in the past. I'm reading, I'm reacting a lot quicker than I have. I'm just seeing everything a lot better. Being here for so long, you kind of get used to seeing seeing the things that you're supposed to, and I've really been taking advantage of that this year.
Was it an easy decision for you after last year to say, I'm coming back for your fifth, when you think about your career here, you know, injury problems where you missed the better part of 2 years before, you finally got your opportunity last year and kind of made the most of it. It seemed natural for you in a way to make sure that you came back for that fifth year.
Yeah, I mean, it was a thought that was in my mind throughout the season, but kind of right after the Robert Morris game last year, I think, is even when I was still on the field, I kind of felt like I knew I was coming coming back. And I said that to the younger guys, too.
That thought came in his mind. He said, I don't want this to end right now. I want this to continue. And I think that's a feeling that goes through everybody's mind as they come to the end of their career. They wish it could continue. They wish it could go on almost forever in some cases. And to have the opportunity to have the fifth year and to take advantage of it, Dave, is I think is great for you.
Definitely. I totally agree.
So I'll ask you this question, Dave, just about the preparation week and getting set for Bryant. There's always the potential when you go up to New England this time of year that it could be cold, but I would imagine when you guys woke up this morning and went out to the practice field, you almost felt like maybe you were in Rhode Island with the snow going on. I talked to one or two guys, and boy, it was really cold out there at practice today, but a fun kind of thing. You know, I mean, how many times will you wake up and there's flurries out there and you can kind of get yourself involved in something a little different?
Yeah, it's definitely different than we're used to. But like I said, the guys during practice, you know, it's not always fun. But I said, hey, it could be like this on Saturday, so take it as preparation.
Anybody go with some extra clothes out there today?
Oh, we had to bundle up a little bit. It was funny. I left my house early this morning. The temperature in my car was 52. By the time we got on the field, it was 33 degrees and snowing.
Yeah, there was a dramatic change. How about Coach Bo? What did he look like today? Did he go shorts and a T-shirt?
Coach Bo actually had long sleeves and long socks.
He was bundled up today. So that's when you know it's cold.
Yeah. Only on game days will he go with the short sleeve opportunity. Dave DeMersion here on the Kevin Callahan Mom of Football Show. We'll have President Brown coming up with us in the next couple of minutes as well. Dave, when you think about the football program now, and I've asked most of the older guys that have been on the show this question, you know, you've seen the transition from the NEC to now this year being an independent, next year in the Big South. I know you won't be here, but I would imagine that as a guy who's leaving, you almost couldn't envision the direction that the program is now going. If you could think back 5 years ago to when you started, if we said, hey, you're going to be a full scholarship FBS program going to the Big South, people probably would have said, no way, that's not possible. But yet, here it is next year.
Yeah, definitely. Every year since I've been here, the talent has grown in the players that we bring in, and it's great to see that we can join a bigger conference, get more scholarships, and compete at a higher level. And, I see this program growing great places in the future.
Do you see yourself as a guy who will come back a couple times a year and kind of stay in touch with it?
Oh, definitely. I don't live too far away, so whenever I can make it back for a game, I'll definitely be here.
He's been an important guy, Coach, when you think about it. You know, you need those, almost older, mature type guys, and I know that, and a guy that can play, obviously, as well, and be an impact guy, to kind of, you know, bridge this gap a little bit. As an independent, and you and I have spoke about this many times, there could have been a feeling of it's a wasted type year. We can't win a league championship. We won't have any all-conference guys at the end of it. So you need senior type leadership to kind of carry you through that a little bit.
Well, one of the things is we went into last spring and knew that we were going to be an independent in 2013. To me, it was extremely important that we have tremendous leadership on our team. Senior leadership, fifth-year senior leadership. And we put together a captain selection process that Dave went through. As one of our captains, Dave had to go through about a two-month process to be elected as one of the team captains. It involved meeting with the coaching staffs. It involved interviews, individual meetings with me, getting up in front of our team and speaking to them. And I think when it was all said and done, our team did a tremendous job in selecting the five co-captains that we have. And in that role, Dave, and as well as the others, have provided excellent leadership as we're going through this, what you might call a transitional year. This year where we're not going to win a league championship, where no one's going to make an all-conference team, but where it's just all about going out and winning games and finishing with a winning record. In that role, Dave has done superbly.
Dave, you don't strike me as a guy that worries about individual accolades, but in a year where you're playing so well, and I think you probably would garner some attention for an all-conference type team, had Monmouth either been in the NEC this year or already been in the Big South, the way that you're playing, team leading and tackles. We mentioned the tackles for a loss, getting involved in the sack game as well. When you get mentioned this past week, like you win the award that gets handed out on the independent side, I know it probably doesn't mean anything to you maybe now thinking about two games, but it must be nice just in a way that someone's recognizing the way that you've been performing on the field.
Yeah, it is nice to be recognized. Not having the conference is nice to be recognized at the FCS level, but like I said, I'll worry about that stuff later. I'm more focused on winning this weekend.
It's not a guy we can rattle here tonight, Coach. He's calm as anything.
And that's the way he plays the game on the field too, although he has that inner fire and excitement and drive. You rarely see it displayed emotionally in a negative way. Dave's very collected. He's a very cerebral and intelligent football player, and that's why he's having the success he did, or that he's had. And just one other thing, as far as the, you know, the all-conference teams, y'all NEC, you're going to be on the all-Coach Cal team this year, all right, Dave? So you can take that
I'll
one.
I'll take it.
I'm not all sure right. what that's going to get you, but maybe a nice little plaque or something like
something.
That. It'll be nice to have something. Dave, appreciate you coming by. Best of luck, obviously, last couple of games. I know that as someone who's leaving, you want to leave that mark and say that we had a winning record at 7-5. It would be a good step for the program going in to the Big South and continued success for the last couple games. Really enjoy it. You've been a pleasure to watch.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Dave.
That's Dave Demersion. We'll step out here for a quick two-minute timeout. When we come back, the Monmouth University president, Dr. Paul Brown, will join us in segment number two. We're back right after this quick two-minute pause. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. Tip-off time about a half hour from now. The Monmouth men's basketball team getting set to take on the University of Pennsylvania. Game number two as MU tries to go to 2-0 to open up the season. Wins over Hofstra to open up the year. Monmouth football continuing here on our Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. MU right now at 5-5 with two games left on the schedule. That will commence again this Saturday up at Bryant at Smithfield, Rhode Island for a 12 o'clock kickoff. Happy to be joined here with the eighth president in school history, Dr. Paul Brown, who gives us a few minutes here on the show tonight. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for joining us and popping on the show for a few minutes. Let's talk about the first couple months here as Monmouth president. Has it been an easy adjustment, number one, and has it felt like 2 months so far?
Well, it's great to be on the show. It's felt more like 2 years, maybe three, but it's been great. Everybody has been just fantastic. Meeting just lots and lots and lots of new folks, and that's what I do. It's great to be here.
We do have a tendency to do that, Coach, right? Age people a little bit quicker than they probably should over the course of it.
He looks like a youthful man.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Don't say that.
As you think, and we had you on at halftime several weeks ago during the course of the football broadcast, as you look here at the athletic department and the programs that go on, and coming from a school in the Patriot League like you did, what do you envision moving forward for all of the programs? And then we'll talk specifically about football, but your envisionment of what a student athlete here at Monmouth is supposed to be.
Well, sure, a student athlete, absolutely a sweet spot in a school of this size, mid-size, high-quality private institutions. These folks give us a wonderful additional fabric to our campus. They're student athletes, which is the right combination. They're students and they're athletes. And it's a real win-win. It was a fantastic situation at Lehigh, and I'm sure it'll be exactly the same here for Monmouth and myself.
You know, right on cue, and certainly, Coach, you can comment on this as well. Just recently, Monmouth putting a program high four players on the Capital One COSIDA District 2 all-academic team. Andrew Sutton on there for the third time.
3 years, right?
Eric Spillane on there for the second consecutive year, and two newcomers in Reese Johnson and Joe Johnson. So as kind of on cue, you know, academics here, you know, you've been here for 21 years, are really a big part of what it means to be a student-athlete at Monmouth.
A tremendous big part, and I'm very happy and very proud of the four players who were selected. That they're certainly very deserving of it. It shows that they have the proper balance of athletics and academics. They're guys that strive to do extremely well in the classroom, and to be recognized on the national level for their efforts, I think is just tremendous for them.
And probably for you, President Brown, you know, the same kind of feeling when you see those guys make that recognition on the academic side. You know, wins and losses are important, but when you get that extra little piece of it, it certainly is a big deal.
No, absolutely right. The coach has it. He has it just right. And I think the students themselves, I'm sure, feel so proud, as they should. They work so hard. A Division I student puts in so much effort here on campus. And to pull it off scholastically and then play their sport, oh boy, it's a wonderful situation. That's why they're good folks.
And being part of the community, certainly something important. You know, I know the course of the last couple of days, and it's a pretty normal thing. I see the pictures tweeted out, you know, when some of the guys on the football team go and read to some of the elementary school students here in a local thing. That's the other component being part of the community.
Oh, can you imagine how a young person can feel sitting next to a player, a big bruiser, talking to them about reading, about how important it is to get to school on time, listen to your parents. Oh, my goodness. It's a lifetime experience.
And it's great for our players as well. They get a tremendous reward out of going to the schools. As of yesterday, we put in 64 hours in the local elementary schools in the last month and a half. And we've had guys who have done it on multiple weeks. They're excited to go do it. Hopefully they don't get stumped by any of the words in the books, but they really have a lot of fun with it.
Now, I see them. I see them on campus all the time, too. All the athletes, they show up to so many activities. It's just a very, very special component of the fabric of a university like Monmouth.
Let's hold here for 1 second. We have to take a mandatory station break. We'll take a two-minute pause here. We'll be back, talk a little bit more with Monmouth University President Dr. Paul Brown, all after this quick pause on the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show. We're back right after this. Live tonight from the Multipurpose Activity Center, getting set for men's basketball at 7 o'clock. We'll take you up to 6:50 with our coaches show here, talking Monmouth University football. Matt Harmon, Kevin Callahan, and the University President, Dr. Paul Brown. Dr. Brown, appreciate allowing us to take that break for the station. As you think now, we get back into the conversation, just the future now moving forward. You know, you kind of jumped right into so many changes from an athletic standpoint. With all sports minus football joining the MAC, and football starting next year joining the Big South. So there is now an increased level of commitment to all of the programs here in Monmouth that you kind of have to oversee a pretty big transition period.
Well, of course I do, but there's a great set of colleagues that will help with that. Our Vice President McNeil, obviously the coaches, were absolutely poised to make this move. And I believe our facilities are there. I believe our coaches are ready. But it's a team effort, and I am ready for it. It's a whole new level of commitment and excitement, and everybody at the university is behind it. So you can imagine the level of excitement that's happening.
And certainly a great start in terms of fall play in the MAC. Women's soccer on their way to the NCAA tournament. They won the league championship. We'll take on Penn State coming up this weekend. Men's soccer has their opportunity to get back in to the Field of 64. Their tournament starting on Friday up in Fairfield. So in terms of immediate success at the MAC level in the fall, it's been a pretty good start.
Oh, my goodness. It's been such a great start. Women's soccer is so exciting. They were down in Florida, and boy, did they make the difference. And I'm sure the men will do it in Connecticut, too. Just a matter of time.
You know, those sports being on one side, you know, the sports at least that maybe media attention-wise has always been football and basketball, men's basketball and football. Mm-hmm. Here, it's been a down couple of years for the men's basketball team, but as you sit here for the first time getting ready for a home basketball game in this still pretty brand-new building, you said the facilities are in place. This could be a really great place as the team continues to develop and making that transition into the MAC.
I see a situation where there can't be a student on campus that's not in the MAC. That's what's going to happen. I can feel it in the community. I can feel it in the students. I am drooling over this facility. I can't help to see it. When it's 4,000-plus filled, it's rocking.
Right.
I'm ready.
Hopefully it looks the same from where you are right now, courtside, as it will when you move upstairs into the box a little later on. I know you got to do some entertaining.
I'm sure it will.
From a football perspective and moving into the Big South, that's obviously a little bit different. You know, there's a whole contingent of schools that are not involved in any MAC play, so it'll be a whole new different type of schedule. What's your envisionment for the football side of things as the school moves forward?
Well, as the coach and I have talked a lot about this issue, What's great is our players now have the whole next level of intensity of teams to play. They'll learn the new teams, I'm sure. What they'll do is be making their mark in the Big South very quickly. And what's fun about it is you always want to ratchet up your competition. You don't want to ratchet down. You want to ratchet up. And our previous league served us well. But I can feel it, and particularly when I talk to other coaches around the league. They're ready for us, and we're ready for them.
You know, Coach, from a perspective, you know, you've been used to really two presidents, and now you're third in your tenure here.
He's used to president.
when you think about it, I mean, there is that almost adjustment period from everyone who's been here for a long time. You know, the first time when maybe you had an opportunity to meet and talk with Dr. Brown. Did you get that sense listening to him right now that, hey, this is a guy that's going to take us from where we are here to now moving forward?
Well, actually, I've got to be honest. The first time I did listen to Dr. Brown was during the interview process and sort of the town hall meeting that he had over in Wilson. And I came away very impressed and excited about the new leadership. And, you know, I was one of the few of the people from the athletics department that attended that. And when I walked away from there, I felt very confident in that we were going to have tremendous leadership and leadership that would not only guide the entire university but put the athletics department in its proper place. And so I was very excited.
You know, as you said, Dr. Brown, it must have been comforting when you think moving into the job that you're in now, you have a longtime vice president in charge of athletics in Dr. McNeil, but also head coaches like Coach Callahan and certainly others, Coach Ehal, Coach McCourt, Coach Turner, people that have been here in the program for a really, really long time, even to just pick their brain every once in a while on, hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that?
Oh, no, absolutely. Experience among coaches feeds on other coaches, too. It's very clear how close the coaches are here. I'll learn from that situation as well. I had the wonderful luxury of meeting with many of the teams. Met with the football team. It was so much fun. I've met with the men's basketball, women's basketball. It's a very simple conversation. Enjoy your sport, represent Monmouth, and win. But it's in that order. Enjoy your sport, represent Monmouth, and give it your best shot and win.
And hopefully the winning ways will continue for all the programs here. Dr. Brown, thanks so much for giving us a few minutes. I know you got to head upstairs. Enjoy your first home event here in the MAC on the men's side for basketball. Look forward to talking to you down the road.
Well, I appreciate it, and I appreciate all the support that I'm feeling here. It's going to be a mighty fine run for everybody.
A welcome addition, certainly, here into the Monmouth University family. That is President Dr. Paul Brown, the 8th president in Monmouth history. We step out for a quick timeout. We're back, Coach and I, to put a wrap on this one. Look ahead to this week's game against Bryant after the 60-second timeout. You're listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network. And we welcome you back in here. Final segment of the night here tonight. Getting off the air a couple minutes early, 6:50 for our pregame show right around the corner for men's basketball. Hawks taking on UPenn with a tip set at 7 p.m. Monmouth will head into their game against Bryant this weekend at 5-5 overall. The Bulldogs right now at 4-6. Coach, obviously, just like so many other teams that Monmouth has seen, especially in the second part of the year, former conference rivals. So there's a lot of familiar names as you get set and prepare things, which I would imagine on so many levels does make things a little bit easier from week to week now over the course of the last couple.
It does, Matt. The familiarity with the opponent, with the coaching staff, and their style of play is something that does make game planning a bit easier. Just having the knowledge of playing them for the last 5 seasons is something that it helps us in getting ready for the game. It also helps our players as they get ready for the game.
It's been a team that, you know, maybe Monmouth has had their ups and downs with a little bit. Struggled last year, had won the year prior to that, the last time that MU went up to Smithfield. This is a team right now that has kind of had a roller coaster ride in their own right. 4-6 overall, 2-3 in the NEC. At one point, I kind of had the feeling they were going to maybe make a little bit of an unexpected run, but they've kind of fallen back to the pack, having lost their last two.
Well, as we both know, the NEC is a conference that's extremely competitive, that anybody can beat anyone else on any given week. But you're absolutely right. Bryant started off very hot with a great win over Holy Cross. They went and played the University of Maine, and a team that's in the top 10 right now nationally, and played them extremely close. And it was at that point I took a look at their schedule and said, hey, I think this might be the team that's going to win the NEC. You know, they've been kind of up and down as they've gotten into their NEC games. They've had some injuries, particularly on the offensive side. They've played a number of different tailbacks. But they're still a very, very physical team to play. They're a team that believes in running the ball, and they've had some terrific ball carriers there over the 5 years that we've played them. They have an outstanding receiver in Jordan Harris, who was the NEC Offensive Player of the Year last year. And on the defensive side, they make it very, very difficult for you to run the ball. They're going to put 8 and possibly 9 guys in the box. They're going to play tight man-to-man coverage on you, and they're going to make you earn every yard you get on the ground.
You know, Coach, they've always kind of struck me, at least over the course of the last couple of years, as a team that offensively, and maybe it was because they had Jordan Brown to rush the football, as someone offensively who didn't really do anything out of the ordinary, but what they did it pretty well. You know, I actually thought it was a little bit surprising with him graduating that maybe they didn't start to throw the ball a little bit more to try to get it to Jordan Harris, who's such a good and talented wide receiver. But they've kind of stuck with the game plan. Run the ball first, and we'll pass when we need to pass.
They have. That's their identity, Matt. They're going to run the ball. They're going to throw play-action pass that comes off their runs. That's how they believe in moving the ball. That's how they believe in philosophically in running their offense. That does play into the type of defensive unit they are as well. They're going to be a physical, tough, hard-to-run-against defense, and that's what they are. They've been that way since we've played them for 5 years now.
Now, it certainly does beg at least the comparison. If they want to run the ball, it almost plays a little bit into the strength of the Monmouth defense, which has played so well in stopping the run over the course of the second part of the season.
It does, and they're going to be a team that lines up, and they're going to find a way or come into our game with schemes that they believe that they're going to have success running the ball against us. We've done a fairly good job against them over the years in stopping the run. Last year, we maybe did too good a job in stopping the run, and the same quarterback we'll be playing this week, had a career day against us, throwing for over 325 yards.
Now, on the flip side, you mentioned they will try and pack the box in defensively. And when Monmouth has had success on the offensive side, it has been when they can run the ball first, and then Brandon Hill kind of opens the pass game up a little bit later in the game. So offensive line play, as it is week in and week out, certainly paramount to the offensive efforts this week.
It's going to be critical. And their front seven is very stout on defense. We're going to have to play very well up front in the offensive line. They're not going to give us anything easy. All the yards that we get on the ground, we're going to have to earn, because it's going to be very physical in there. I would see us using both KB Asante and Julian Hayes to pound away at them. But we've got to have some explosive plays on the perimeter. We've got to get the ball into the hands of Mike McClafferty, our tight end, Neil Sterling, Lamar Davenport, Thad Richards, Elijah Phillips, our receivers. We've got to get the ball out on the perimeter so that they can't just live by packing the box.
It's almost that, you know, that cliche or old adage, does the run set up for the pass? And sometimes the pass can set up the run. You might have to throw the football a little bit more earlier to open their defense up a little bit.
Well, what we're going to have to do is make them defend the entire field. We've got to make them defend all of the weapons that we have on the offensive side, our receivers, our tight end, our running backs. If we can do that, I'm confident that the matchups we'll have, we will be able to move the ball and have success on offense.
Coach, I know a big one coming up this weekend with the winning season still in play. As you said, you got to get six before you can get seven. Hopefully next Tuesday night, when we'll be back in our regular spot at 7 p.m. at Jack's, we're talking about win number six.
I hope so. I know our guys are all anxious for it. As we heard from Dave DeMergen earlier, our seniors and the older players on our team are extremely motivated to get this win number six.
Always great talking Monmouth football. Coach, appreciate the 10 extra minutes tonight we'll devote to some basketball coverage. I'll talk to you next week on Tuesday.
Thank you, Matt.
Dave DeMergen, one of our guests, and Dr. Paul Brown, the Monmouth University president, the other. For Kevin Callahan, Matt Harmon saying so long. Stick around. We're back in 60 seconds to kick off our hoops coverage here as Monmouth and Penn coming up in about 10 minutes from now. Thanks so much for listening to the Kevin Callahan Monmouth Football Show on the Shore Sports Network.